Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Adulting Hour, where we talk about things that we wish we would have learned coming up into adulthood. Today, I'm on the phone with Chris Wallace. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Charles?
Chilling, baby. Hey, so you contacted me because there was something you really wanted to talk about. What is that?
We're going to talk about expectations as an adult.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me adults have expectations?
No, talking about the expectations that children think that you're going to have when you get to an adulthood. And sometimes it could be true, and sometimes it could be false.
What are some of those expectations that they think of?
Or we talk about freedom. When you're a teenager, you're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get out of this house. I'm gonna make my own rules. I'm gonna do all this other different type of stuff. I'm gonna have my own space, and I ain't gonna have to listen to nobody, or I could make their own rules. And then when you find out that you get into your 20s and you start doing things just like your parents.
Hey, that's kind of true. Actually, that's all the way true, to be honest with you. You mess around and start sounding like your parents after a while.
Right.
So what type of me personally, my expectations as an adult, when I was younger, I'm like, man, when I get older, like you just said, I'm gonna have my own stuff, I'm gonna have my own crib, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna be making X amount of money. And then when you become an adult, that stuff do really don't work out that way.
Right. I mean, Charles, there's a lot of things that as a parent, now me as a parent, I understand that I'm going to raise children in a world that I didn't grow up in. And there are things like video games, computers, and the internet. When I was coming up as a kid, those were all novelty items. There were people on the fringes of society that was telling people like, hey, these computers are gonna be the wave of the new future. And they just looked at it like, oh, that's something you play with. But now some kids are earning way more money in with the streaming services and all the other different type of, what I'm saying, podcasts and YouTube shows that they have. They earning way more money than the parents. So, you remember they would be like, well, go to school, get a good job so you get an education so you can get a good
Right.
job. But you know what I'm saying? That's an expectation that, oh, you know what I'm saying, that you got to get up and go to work every morning, man. Yeah, going to work every morning sucks.
Yeah, it does.
But you got to do
Yeah,
what
it
you got
does.
to do.
That's true. Those is I was it's funny that you mentioned that these youngins that is 16, 15, 14, that 16 is a 16-year-old TikTok boy who bought his mama a $2.5 million mansion.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That's completely different than what I thought of. I look at the TikTok videos and 2 minute, yeah, I'm addicted. But anyway, I look at those 2 minute videos and I'm like, that's pretty cool. But I didn't know that people were making this kind of money off of it. But that still doesn't make them an adult. It just makes them making money. But there are expectations that still come with when you do make that kind of money as well.
Well, I mean the real expectation is that, okay, let's just say if you were a straight A student in high school, you went to college, you graduated, you know what I'm saying, top of the class, on the dean's list every time, you could come out and still not have a job.
That's so true.
So
That's 100% true.
for almost whatever from the time that you went into school, they've been telling you that, okay, yeah, you're gonna come out, even if you get a job in engineering or business administration, whatever type of job, it may not be a job out there for you. So all of that college and all that type of stuff, it's a gamble. Sometimes it could pay off, if you used to, hustling, because jobs don't just fall in your lap. Hey, you know what I'm saying, come here, I want to hire you. I mean, sometimes they do.
That's
You
correct.
know what I'm saying? But that's the gamble that I'm talking about. you know, that you could go to school for 4 years and still end up at a minimum wage job until something better comes along.
Yeah, you know what? That is so true. I've worked with a lot of college students in my career, and the first thing they do when they come out of college is expect to have that $100,000 a year paying job. Well, I want to let all of you people know something. You will not make $100,000 a year as soon as you graduate. Those numbers are numbers that when the teachers say, hey, you're going to be making $75,000 out of college. That's not true. You're probably making $35,000 or $40,000 until you earn your time at the company to make $70,000, $80,000 to $100,000 a year.
Right, but I'm man. Look, you could take a $30,000 salary and work for yourself. You know
that is 100% true.
Because you know jobs stand for just over broke. You know, it don't matter. You know, I mean, but this is real, and a lot of people don't talk about it, is that, yeah, you could have a job even when you get $300,000. But if they decide, you know what I'm saying, they ain't going to pay you, you're going to be broke next week.
That's 100% true. They decide, you know, I've been in retail for so long, and I worked at two different locations that closed. You know, and I've been there for 16 years, and those two locations that closed just came in one day. One day it was right after it was on Black Friday, and they came and they announced that morning before we even got to work. They announced it on the news, and then they announced it in the store. Shocker, your store is closing, and everyone turned around and looked at each other like, this is a mess, you know. It's unfortunate, and they can do that, you know. When a company can just close their doors when they want to, I mean, because they may not be meeting expectations.
Right.
So
that don't mean
things like that happen,
Charles, that don't mean that they wasn't making money. They a lot of times they don't be making the money that they want, so they just like, yo, we just gonna close the store.
Correct, because you like, this store was making $45 million a year. Yeah, but we really wanted to make 65. Right. So, you know, we only were making $45 million a year. To us, we're looking at, oh my God, $45 million is a lot of money. But to them, they're looking at it as a loss, and they want to know what's more profitable for them, right. Which is just, to me, it's unacceptable, but it happens. And that's just business. And that's how business works. So, you were talking about, you know what, you can just go and work for yourself and to be honest with you, I think that's one thing that people should really hear, is that you really can go and work for yourself, and there's plenty of ways. What ways do you know of?
Well, I mean, it depends on the individual. So, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people these days, they creating food trucks. I got my homie, he's got a cleaning service where he does like carpet cleaning. I got another friend who does power washing. But these are all in addition to the jobs that they have, you know, like they just have other jobs where they can, you know what I'm saying, have other businesses and stuff like that on the side. But then I have other friends that have clothing companies. I have another friend, he has a financial service. So I mean, any spectrum of the field, you know, it may take you some time to do it on your own. Like, let's say if you want to run a restaurant, I don't see a problem with going and working at a restaurant till you learn the ins and outs of it, and then while you got the capital to, you know what I'm saying, stack up and save your own, you know.
That makes sense to me. You know, some people do just jump into restaurant business head on, not even having any experience in the restaurant business. They probably can't even scramble an egg. You know, they just got the capital and that was their dream. You know, I managed a couple restaurants, and it's not as easy as it seems. You know, it really isn't as easy as it seems. You have to know costs, you have to know overhead, you have to know each and everything down to the last insurance penny, because each penny counts for insurance, right? You got to have everything, all your T's crossed, all your I's dotted. You know, and right now we in the gigging time where, to be honest, you don't have to work for anybody. To be honest, you can just go on to any one of these delivery services, Uber, Lyft, Amazon, DoorDash, Grubhub, all these delivery service, and the time you put in, you'll make money out of it. And I know that a lot of people say, well, that's just doing this and that's not much money. I have been doing it for 3 years straight, and I don't need to work for anybody.
Right. Well, I think it's best to quantify terms. Not necessarily saying that you don't work for anybody. It's just the fact that you get to be in control of how you want to make money. So,
That's true.
it's
That's
like,
true.
when expectations as an adult for me being in control of my time. And so, when you gotta wake up every morning at 6 o'clock to go to work at 8 o'clock, that causes a certain physiological and mental stress on you every day. You know what I'm saying? Because you know that, okay, I gotta go to sleep at 10 so that I could get enough rest so that I could be up. You know what I'm saying? So now your whole life becomes consumed around going to sleep early enough so you could wake up and go to this job that you really might not like, just to, pay for the things that you want to have, and just telling people that there's another option besides the way that your parents might have been raised. Because when we was coming up, I mean, even 10 years ago, these opportunities on social media wasn't even available. And
That is correct.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, like things with delivery service, creating your own delivery service, you know what I mean? It could be a stream of revenue.
It's just you. It's just utilizing the skills that you have and expounding on it. I think because, a lot of times we do think that actually we have been told from birth that you get up, go to college, you go to work, and you do that job for the rest of your life. You get up, you go to college, you go to work, you do that job for the rest of your life. Some of y'all can't go to college, so maybe go get a trade. You get up, go learn a trade, go do that job for the rest of your life. It's not too many of us that's being told, hey, you know what? Sometimes you can get out there and create your own thing and start your own thing. Start opening up a restaurant or start this or start that. Some of us don't even get that type of learning when we're growing up. Luckily, I did when I was growing up, and I'm quite certain you did as well. Which I think is fantastic. Hey, Chris, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
Thank you so much for listening to the Adulting Hour. Please show your support with a monthly donation of only 99 cents. If you have something you want to talk about, please leave a message and I'll contact you. And maybe we can do it on the show. Thank you so much.
I'm talking to Chris Wallace here, who we are talking today on the Adulting Hour show. And it's, of course, it's about things that you wish you would have known coming up into adulthood. And we are talking about expectations of an adult. All right, Chris, what else did you want to talk about, sir?
I wanted to talk about, it's never too late to redefine yourself. And like we were talking about, the expectations of being an adult, that you just don't have to settle for what you're doing in your current situation right now. I mean, I did 12 years in the military before I really decided that I wanted to take photography serious and start making the jump into TV and film when I moved to California.
Oh, so what? Where are you from originally, Chris? Let's get a little backstory on who you are.
Okay, I'm from Houston and I joined the military at 18. And I've been around the world, and once I got out, I finished school, and then I ultimately end up coming back in. But when I was living up in Seattle, it was just so many things that was so beautiful. I just started taking pictures of stuff, and then I got another assignment to come to California, and I said, man, I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna meet these celebrities and I'm gonna just start documenting and taking pictures. And when I came down here, I did this one thing for BMW because I played basketball with this dude, and he let me come and take pictures of the car for the dealership. And then one thing led to another, and I got hired for an event for Remy Martin. And I worked with the beat producer Zaytoven, and that was the night that changed my life. I met like 10 individuals that night, and after that, I did like 30 events the next month, and I never looked back.
That's what I'm talking about, fam. Look, and the thing about it is that, and as I'm listening, is that you positioned yourself. When you left Seattle, you were like, I love to do this, and I got to figure this out. And you did, and you positioned yourself to make sure that you're able to continue to take pictures and do things that you love to do, you know? So who have you worked with thus far?
Okay. The question might be easier is who haven't I worked with? I work with Quincy Jones, I work with Jay-Z, I work with Beyonce, I work with her. I just left the studio with Jermaine Dupri. Let's see, I work with Snoop Dogg, I work with the Dog Pound, I work with Ice Cube, I work with Oprah, I work with Dave Chappelle, I work with Sweetie and Quavo.
That's what I'm talking about. Keep bringing it, baby.
Who else? Oh, I was just on the Don Juan show yesterday with Bishop Magic Don Juan.
That's what I'm talking about.
I work with my man Steve Lobel. I work with Freeway Rick. I work with the late great John Singleton. I work with John Boyega. I work with some of my other people out in London. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. Who else? I work with T-Pain. I work with Trey Songz.
Man, you got a list, man. It keep coming, boy. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, so like, what? So in the beginning, when you first started, you out in Seattle, right? And you walk around, you're like, this place is beautiful, and I need to start taking pictures. What did you start taking pictures with, and how did that progress to the pictures that you're taking right now?
I was taking pictures just on film, just like an artist, you know, because I paint and I draw and I sculpt and I do all that other different type of stuff. But, you know, going and spend thousands of dollars on a camera when you don't know anything about it, it's just kind of like, no, I don't need a camera for that. I can just take pictures with this little digital camera. But once I decided I was going to take it serious, then, you know what I'm saying, I got the equipment. So I was just taking pictures of nature, trees, the beaches, you know, the Pacific Northwest is beautiful for that type of stuff. And when I came to California, it was just a matter of, like you said, positioning myself. And once I got to connect, man, it's all about being. I came into the Hollywood scene already knowing what it was and not getting caught up in the hype. Like, I came to work. And so me with a worker's mentality instead of a party mentality, I was working and producing so much good work for these people that it just kept on leading to other opportunities.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And that's the key. Everyone listen. Being an adult is work ethic. Somebody will see your work ethic. And I said before in my previous shows that you might not even know who's watching you. You'll just be to the side doing your thing. And once somebody will come tap you on your shoulder and say, hey, I really like your work ethic. Can we collaborate together? And that's the best thing. That's something you can't teach. You know, those are things that are inside of a person. And I know that some people may say, well, my work ethic may suck right now. You have the ability to change it and work on it. and become somebody successful or successful in your own right.
Well, you're 100% correct, but I think when you have a good work ethic, it's all about changing the power dynamic, you know. So if you, it was people that I knew that was in a powerful position to help me, but I didn't go to them basically on my knees asking for a handout. I came with a body of work, you know. I'm talking like I would leave work at 3:30 and be in LA by 5. I would have my first event from like 6:30 to like 8:30 or 9, where we're just doing the red carpet. I would get that little money. Then I would leave and go to another performance from 9 to like 11, get that little money, and then go with like Wiz Khalifa or Snoop Dogg or Kevin Gates to somebody like that to their like main performance from like 1 to 3. And then I would leave. Wow. I would be on the road back home uploading pictures. So I get home, eat a little bit, send all that stuff out, get back up and go back to work at 6:30. And do that 4 to 5 times a week for almost 2.5 years before it finally got to me that I had reached a level. Like I was grinding, I was still grinding, like I was getting on. And as much work as you could do, that's as much work as you could take. So the clients just start stacking up. Before I look around, I never even had to tell people like, hey, come shoot with me, come book me. Because every day I wake up in the morning, somebody calling me, hey, I need you to come to Atlanta. Hey, I need you to come to Miami. Hey, I need you to come to New York. And I'm like, okay, well, let me just take off of work. Boom, boom, boom. Next day I'm out.
So you said, see, I know, people don't know the difference, your travel distance. Tell us where you work at and tell us how long you get to where you go and do these shoots.
Yeah, I live in Riverside and I drive to LA, so that's like an hour and a half, depending on traffic, sometimes 2 hours, you know, on the road. So I be on the road in between LA, San Diego, Phoenix, and Vegas, which is all driving distance for me. So I don't let none of that money get away. It's more so about relationships. The relationships that I have with people is the biggest thing, because that's my biggest form of success is the human capital that, you know.
Correct.
That, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these people, like, with me, I don't turn nothing into no blog sites. You know, sometimes you catch people in compromising positions and you just get rid of the footage, you know? So once these people know that, you know what I'm saying, I'm not there to try to make money off of them and make them look bad and turn it into the tabloids, you know, that's when it becomes a level of trust and responsibility, and, you know, they accept your opinion and your creative work and stuff like that. So,
did you have any idea growing up in Houston, that way of Chicago, that you were going to be doing this in your life?
No, never, never, ever. I had no expectations that one day I would ever be on stage with Snoop Dogg, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Nipsey Hussle. You know what I'm saying? Just like I've been on stage with a lot of people, you know, I mean, the highest stage, you know, like I did it with the best of them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I work with Quincy Jones, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, that's like the top of, that's the Don right there, yeah. Baby. And that's fantastic, Chris. It really is fantastic, but that's all the hard work you put in. And actually, you know, and I'm hearing it in your voice. It sounds like you're not even satisfied. You're still growing.
Still going. You know, I got movies that I'm getting ready to roll out. You know, got some deals with some dealings with Netflix and Amazon Prime. So, you know, we shopping out some movies right now. So
That's what I am talking about. See, and it's just somebody who, you know, you didn't even you wouldn't even expect. And you know, because a lot of people think of like celebrities and they see them and they say, okay, you are already here. You are already there. You know, no, it's a grind, man. It's a grind. I mean, I'm not a celebrity by no means, but you know, I did pretty well for myself. And when people look, they say, well, you look at what you got. I say, man, listen, you have no idea when I was sleeping in that apartment, in an abandoned apartment on the floor, dreaming that one day this is never going to happen to me again. Yeah. You know, and I grind so hard every single day to make sure that never, ever happened again.
Right. I mean, you know, coming up, like before I got married, my wife laughed at me because, you know, I had my apartment with the nice floors, but I had like plastic furniture and just a big TV. But you know what I'm saying? I ain't had no furniture in there.
That's a guy apartment.
I didn't think nothing was wrong with it. But you know what I'm saying? As you become an adult, it's like, nah, dude, like, get some curtains, take that seat down, you know, just, like,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, you in the dough, you can afford this, like, buy this stuff, you know, get a couch.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Chris, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I appreciate it. I know the time change was different, and I know you had to work late last night, but I still appreciate it that you came on and gave me 30 minutes of your time. And guys, if you guys like what you hear in the content, you can donate 99 cents a month. Just click on support. And if you really like what you hear, you can donate $4.99 a month or $9.99 a month. But just make sure you click on and like it, support it. You know, anything helps. Even if you don't spend any money, that's fine with me. As long as you like the podcast, so I can continue to bring this content to you each and every week so that you can learn more. And I hope someone learned anything. Hey, Chris, before we go, if there was one thing you can tell your younger self, what would you tell your younger self?
If it was one thing I could tell my younger self, that it's okay to make mistakes, that you don't got to be perfect in all your dealings, because that's why a car got a steering wheel, so you could turn around when you heading down the wrong road. So,
hey, that's fantastic. Hey, thank you so much, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Charles.
No problem. Bye.